Thank you. What an amazing introduction. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Post-lunch crowd, always invigorating. As Jeff said, I am the Barbie Global Social Media Manager. I lead up all the strategy and content development for the Barbie brand. Very exciting, kind of crazy, if you can imagine. Trying to combine Barbie's sort of place in society with selling some toys to 3 to 6 year olds, that's what we're playing with. Today I'm going to specifically talk about our Barbie Style channel. Barbie Style, for those of you who don't know, is a channel that we launched about 2 years ago. It came out of something that was missing for the brand, which I'm gonna get into a little bit. Talk a little bit about strategy, process, sort of our reason for being, and our different tactical executions for the channel. But first off, I wanted to kind of give you a little overview of social media for Barbie in general. We have, of course, Facebook, Twitter, 2 Instagram accounts, YouTube, you name it, we got it. One thing that we started to face is how do we distinguish who we're talking to, and how do we give them what they want? We're talking to parents. We're talking to brand fans. We're talking to fashion fanatics. We have a little bit of everything and a little bit for everyone. So that is a big challenge that we face with Barbie. One thing that we noticed is that we had kind of shied a little bit away from the fashion heritage. Not in a big way. We still, it's a fashion doll. That's the main form of play that girls are going into when they grab Barbie dolls and get the fashions and play out different scenarios. That's first and foremost what the product is. I think we sort of started to shy away from Barbie as a fashion icon in society. It started to become a difficult thing to talk about and to kind of own without backing off from it. So internally, we had a discussion, how do we embrace our heritage? How do we embrace what the Barbie brand is about and how she was born? She was always born in fashion. We've always had a connection to designers, lifestyle enthusiasts, you name it, we've done it. So we sat down and we looked at our different channels and we noticed that while we covered fashion a little bit on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at different moments, we didn't really have a consistent place for sort of the societal play. Who do we talk to when we're talking about playing, and then who do we talk to when we're talking about fashion and being relevant? So this is how Barbie Style was born. We wanted to really commit to this positioning of Barbie as an it girl in the world. As we all know, bloggers and Instagram famous women sort of became a big thing a couple of years ago, and we wanted to tap into that. We wanted to tap into what was really working on Instagram at the time and how fashion sort of became the most dominant type of content and engagement that was happening on the channel. So we take ourselves a little seriously, but we do realize that it's a doll. She's 11 and a half inches tall. She's plastic. She's fabulous. We get it. So while we do take her seriously and we do treat her as a real person in this one instance, we do have a little wink and a nod behind everything we do. Because at the end of the day, it's a toy, right? So we started to tap into this idea of fashion and culture and how that sort of fits with the brand and how we fit into different spaces, either naturally or not so naturally. So we started with fashion because we have these relationships with designers. We've always done collaborations with the best and brightest in the fashion world. And we started to tap into those relationships and also look for new ways to make it inventive and fun. So the first thing we did was we established, okay, Barbie's gonna be an it girl. She's gonna be a blogger. So what does that mean? And everything that means, from traveling to Fashion Month, going to the Hamptons, going to Art Basel, it sounds crazy, but she did it. So as I mentioned, Fashion Month all over the world became sort of the starting point for us. We said, okay, what can we do to sort of kick off this channel and make it relatable and interesting? So we took something timely. We launched in August of 2014, so Fashion Month started in September of that year, and we took advantage of these wonderful designers and this amazing creative team we have internally to create mini versions of designer clothes, and then we sent her all around the world. It was really interesting to sort of see the enthusiasm that people had for the channel. It grew like gangbusters. I'll talk about numbers a little bit later. But it was insane that there was this unknown appetite to see miniature versions of Bergdorf Goodman bags or Chanel suits. It was just a crazy explosion of engagement. Most recently, we tapped into entertainment. This is something that wasn't originally part of our plan. We kind of shied away from film because it gets tricky to sort of insert a fashion doll into film, and we wanted to kind of focus. But this year, we branched out and we partnered with Zoolander 2, coming soon, and we created a series of content that it's relevant for right now, and it sort of put Barbie in the film and entertainment zeitgeist, if you will. We created special dolls for that reference the characters. We have Barbie doing Blue Steel. Like, all of this sort of content creation and this type of partnership is what the channel has been based on for the last 2 years. Now, as I mentioned, we've touched upon art. We've touched on music. While fashion is still the basis of what we focus on, we've been branching out into these different industries and passions that we're seeing, and also trends on Instagram. We go through, and every year during Coachella, of course, you're gonna see all of these photos from our favorite fashionistas, our favorite celebrities. So we said, why the heck not? We have to put Barbie there. So it's sort of tapping into this playful and fun, but still relevant way of presenting the brand, and also tapping into what's happening right now. And of course, our daily content to kind of keep the channel going between these bigger moments. We have Barbie visits the Hamptons, chilling around LA in her most fabulous looks. And of course, incorporating friends and diversity. It seems silly and it seems sort of frivolous, but it's really fun to be able to show the trajectory that the brand has had over the last 57 years, if you can believe it. It's great to show that we have so many different products. We have so many different ways of looking at the world, and it's coming to life, not only on this channel, but with the brand as a whole. And of course, what is an Instagram account without some yoga? And then we have sort of classic fashion blogger it girl posts that we create. So the flat lay with all the accessories and each piece of fashion that Barbie wears, we have to kind of wink and nod back to that to remind everyone that this is where we came from and this is what we're about. So I touched a little bit on partnerships, and that has really been the most important piece of getting this channel up and running. Of course, we have the luxury for being around for so long to have a lot of friends in different places and different industries. So we were able to use that and grow the channel not only in engagement, in followers, but also tap different audiences. This particular photo, we partnered with Pat McGrath, who's a celebrity makeup artist. She's well known in the fashion world, and we sort of handed over our dolls and said, create some looks for us. We want to tap into your creativity and your world, and we came up with 6 or 7 posts that were just stunning, and it was great because we were able to lean on that partner and get her sort of take on the world and what Barbie could be like if she were working with her. So some of the highlights, this is just sort of to give you an idea of the different spaces we've played in. We've partnered with everyone from Barney's and every retailer you can imagine, to, of course, hotels across the country, across the world, and also designers and different photo studios and artists. And we're starting to really branch out into different industries and make sure that we have sort of relevant content and relevant partnerships to keep not only the channel interesting, but the content fresh. Because, of course, how many times can you see Barbie dressed to the nines and, you know, okay, I'm over it. Let's follow something else. And this is just another list of who we've tapped into to help support the channel and really drive the growth and also make it as interesting as possible. So as I mentioned, we do have a list of folks that we've worked with over the years, whether it's on custom dolls or sort of larger just partnerships. This gives you an idea of what we've been able to tap into. Of course, not every brand has that luxury or that opportunity, but it sort of gives you an idea. There's a lot of smaller brands that we've worked with, smaller influencers that we've gotten a chance to really showcase on the channel, making mini versions of outfits, leveraging new designers. So it's been a really exciting and interesting journey to tap into all these different folks. And of course, press and PR is always interesting and always welcome. At first, it was totally organic. We were just sort of hoping to get the word out, and we used our own PR team to sort of pitch the channel and tell the story of what Barbie Style is and what we were trying to do on the channel. And now part of our future planning is to pitch more formally. And like I said earlier, of course, it's a doll. She's fabulous in plastic, but we do treat her as a real person and as sort of someone who can be out there in the world talking about lifestyle and culture and showing what's new and different to different audiences. So here's the part that's really interesting. When we launched in 2014, we were the fastest growing fashion account on Instagram. That's insane. We are not a fashion account, but we really tapped into something that people wanted and that people found engaging and interesting. And as of now, we have over 1.3 million followers. The engagement is huge. We actually have an engagement rate that rivals Taylor Swift, who has the largest following on Instagram. And I sort of laugh because, if you can compare yourself to Taylor Swift at all on Instagram, you're doing okay, I think. And also, we have a global reach. I think we also found a way to sort of tap into something that is relevant across culture, across borders, and across language. We have, as of last fall, we had the majority of our audience is in the US, but we have a huge contingency in Brazil, and our Chinese following is growing like gangbusters. We've recently partnered with Tina Craig, who runs the blog Bag Snob, and she's Chinese American, and she has a huge following in China, and she's really helped us sort of open the door in that market and get our content into the hands of these consumers that really love it and are really interested in seeing what's next. And since China is really an emerging market for Mattel, we're very new there. We don't have the heritage and sort of the nostalgia that we have in the US and in some other countries. This has been a great sort of gateway for us to tap into that market and see if there's any real interest or growth opportunity. So what's next? I talked a lot about partnerships, sort of content creation and focusing on what we do best from a creative point of view, which is the doll photography, the clothing, all that stuff that really is driven by our team. But how do we grow that? It can become stale. It can become boring and, like, who cares, right? So we want to really continue to get into that global space. We want to tap into other sort of industries that are interesting for a larger audience. So fashion and culture is always going to be a part of what we do, but now we're branching out into the art world a little more. We sort of tested that with Art Basel. I think that's a really key point for us, is this test and learn approach. We have more of we have more flexibility to do that with this channel. I think our other channels, we have to be very careful. There's a lot of rules about what we can post and what we're allowed to say. We can't be too appealing to children because you have to be 13 plus. Like, all these rules that a lot of brands don't have to think about, we do have to think about. But this channel has been our gateway to speak to society and adults and parents and brand fans and sort of anyone who might find us interesting. So I breezed through that pretty quickly. One thing I did want to sort of talk about was our process and how we create content. It's a huge group effort. We have an internal photography team. We have a team that works on creating the fashions, and of course that's all to be expected. But really it's this idea of editorial calendaring that has driven the channel and has kept it successful and fresh. We really try to work as long-term as we can. We know there are certain moments during the year that we're definitely gonna have to cover, the fashion months, the Art Basels, the Coachellas, all those things we know are gonna happen and we're gonna be involved in some way. I think the next step for us is always, how can we be nimble? Shooting dolls is not easy. Creating content around something that takes a lot of setup is not something that's quick. So that is a challenge that we face and something that we're always working on and trying to figure out, how do we speed up the process and how do we stay nimble? It seems like it would be easier since you pose the model and she does what she wants, but it does become a challenge. And of course, in a large corporation, getting things approved and moved through is also a challenge. But that's sort of our next step as well, is how do we become even more nimble and quick to react? So that's Barbie style. I would love to sort of answer any questions you guys might have a little sort of dialogue, or I know I went through a lot of that quickly, so would love to sort of hear your thoughts and answer your questions.
Hello.
Hello.
I love the Instagram channel.
Oh,
I think it's
you.
Really fun. I'm a destination marketer. Actually, I represent South Africa.
Oh,
so
wow.
I would love for us to talk after this because I have some interesting ideas for what might be a potential partnership.
Love it.
But I'm just curious about the new dolls. And
yes.
I came in right after you started, so if you led with this, I apologize. But, you know, the new body shapes and body types that are coming out, are we going to see that reflected in the Instagram channel?
That's a fabulous question. I actually did not cover that, so I'm glad you brought it up. We've already started incorporating them into the channel, and Mattel as a whole and the Barbie brand as a whole is really committed to options for girls. And even though Barbie style is focused toward an adult audience and to a fashion audience, where we're really talking about models and sort of more this like aspirational lifestyle, we always want to have the brand message and the brand priority present throughout the channel. So we've already started incorporating them. They have their own custom fashions, which I'm dying over every time I see. But if you go on the channel now, you'll see we started incorporating them last week, actually, and continue to keep them in the story. And I know as the Barbie brand, we refer to all the dolls as Barbie. There is not one Barbie anymore. Barbie style is a little different because we created a persona and a character, so we allow that in this one instance. So it's great to sort of feature these dolls. We don't call them out by name, so we're still trying to maintain that every doll is Barbie, but we kind of keep the friend aspect as the higher focus for the channel. Thank you.
Hey.
Hi.
So you pointed out that Barbie has a growing audience in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm wondering is, have you thought about creating Instagram accounts for other countries? And did you think through that, and what did you ultimately decide?
Great question. Having a global presence and me running the global strategy for the brand, that's always a question. Our local markets love Instagram. They really want to be a part of it. In the last couple of years, we've sort of evaluated, how does that work? How do we make that work for the markets? I think one thing we struggled with over the last 5 or 6 years is, how do we keep the creative consistent and the messaging tight? That is very challenging when you have markets all over the world with different priorities and different penetration. So what we've done for now is, we did sit down and we debated it and we talked about, how do we make this possible for all of our global affiliates? We decided to keep Instagram as a global channel. I have two channels, Barbie Mainline, which features product off the shelf and out of package, and then Barbie Style, which is custom and, as we've talked about, very focused on fashion. However, that being said, we don't let them have their own Instagram channels as of today, but they always have access to the global channels, and we help them create content to support their own initiatives, events, whatever they have going on, because we don't want to shut out those global audiences, and they have such a love for our social channels that we absolutely want to support that. So we sort of found a middle ground. We control their creative, but we don't say no. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for a really good presentation.
Oh, thanks.
Barbie is a great example, a great role model for being a survivor and an adapter throughout time. And I think recently, in, I think it was Newsweek, that made the statement that she's a cultural barometer, if you will. Anyway, if there's one thing that you think that could really summarize the secret sauce of how you manage your brand, what would that be?
That's a really great question. From a social media point of view, what we focus on is, who are we talking to and where? I think audience is so important and something that is challenging, because I know from, you know, one part of the business, we want to tap into moms and parents. From another part, we want to tap into fashion lovers and the cool kids, really. And from another part of the brand, we're wanting to reach those young girls who have a passion for our brand. So it's really thinking about audience, where they are, and what you want them to hear from you. A great example from my brand is, we want to talk to moms. Moms, moms, moms. So important. Last year, I don't know if you all saw, we had a video come out called Imagine the Possibilities. And it was sort of a candid camera video of girls taking the place of adults in certain situations. So we had a girl who stood in for a vet, another girl who stood in for a soccer coach, another girl who stood in for a professor. And there were real people interacting with these young girls. That was really a mom-focused message. That is who we wanted to target. It ended up doing really well across the board. There was a lot of interest from more than just moms, but that piece of content played well because we were specific and we knew who we were talking to. Barbie Style, same thing. You know who you're talking to, you know the content that you're creating is specifically directed toward them, you're gonna get a response. And I think that's the one thing we keep seeing over and over. And with a lot of companies, it's a challenge. It's a challenge in my day-to-day because we go through the same things all the time where I say, guys, we can't just like blanket content across all channels. We have to think about who we are talking to, who we want to get the message, and what they might be interested in.
Hi. Earlier in your presentation, you had said that working for such a large corporation, it can be a challenge to get content approved and created and moved through. And I work in the pharmaceutical industry, where it can also be a challenge to move content through in such a highly regulated industry. Can you walk through what your process is like from concept of an idea to pushing it out on the channel?
Sure. There's sort of a few different things we have to do. If we're just creating our social content plan, we look to the brand marketing team that is establishing the cadence for the whole year, and we ask them for their plans, we figure out what are the 3 to 4 key moments that we absolutely 100% have to support on social. And we start from there. We call them tent poles in our company, and they're really centered around entertainment. So we release 3 to 4 DVDs or movie properties a year, and that is how we guide our cadence. So What I will do is I will get copies of the DVDs, figure out what markets will be activating against with that, with those particular properties. I gather product, I do all of this sort of legwork. And then what we do on my team is create a calendar for, and we do like 3 or 4 months at a time. I wish we could do a year. I wish we could sort of plan that far in advance, but social moves too fast and things change by the second, so I don't even bother with that. So after we sort of plot out 3 to 4 months, how long our campaigns are gonna be, we've gotten to the point where we will create our content, we will create our plan, and then we start routing it through approvals. Some places, they wanna see shot lists and frameworks first. I tried to get out of that as much as possible because it would take me 2 years to do anything. So after we sort of have, okay, here's what we shot, here's the copy, here's when it's happening, here's what it's supporting, we start routing it through our different approvers. We've been able to streamline the process a little bit because there's been just organizationally a lot of changes, and I've been there long enough where I can kind of push things through, but it's kind of, here's a baked plan, and then we start handing it to whoever needs to see it, and then we say, we're gonna do 2 revisions. The assets themselves will not change dramatically, but copy can always change, timing can always change, we can cut things, and if they want, if anything added, then I always bring up the money question and everyone shuts up. I'm like, you wanna pay for it? Okay, great. So that's sort of the simplified version, but it's really coming in immediately and saying, this is our recommendation, this is what we think is best. And of course, it doesn't always work, but that's sort of the simplified version of how we get it through the system.
I'm gonna ask a question, then I'll go over that person over there. You spoke a lot about content in terms of your overarching strategy. That's what seems a lot of this was really focused on. Mm-hmm. But in terms of an overarching social strategy, including social listening, engaging with your audience, using social ads and promotion, and using measurement and analytics to mm-hmm. see what's working, can you speak a little bit about what your process is on your team to touch on each of those other areas?
Absolutely. So we have the benefit of having a few folks that are our social listening team and our analysts. So we're kind of constantly on, really. I think all of us are. We don't get away with, you know, nights and weekends, let's be honest. But what we try to do is really stay on top of community management. It's me and one other person on my team. So we are scrappy and we are lean and we are doing everything. So we take shifts. We read through comments, we go through every channel that we can and try to get a gauge of what's performing. So the anecdotal piece, what's performing, what are people reacting to, what are they complaining about, what are the questions they're having about product? So really sort of staying tapped into that conversation. And then on top of that, we have a couple of tools that we use. We use a tool called Percolate to help us publish content and also share content with our global markets. I talked a little bit about our global markets, but on top of Barbie Style, we have Facebook, Twitter, and our regular Instagram channel, and we have a commitment to deliver content to those markets. So we have a publishing tool. We also have a listening tool that we've been using, and we're always trying to find new ways to listen better and track better.
Can you share which listening tool?
We're using Synthesio right now. It's okay. I think there are some gaps in the tool itself. I actually have been talking to TrackMaven, who is a sponsor here. I had nothing to do with that. but we've been talking to them about filling that hole of competitor monitoring and also just seeing in real time what's happening. I think that tool is probably gonna be better for us in terms of how huge our brand is, but I would definitely look into that if you're looking for sort of an all-encompassing tool to help you monitor and sort of see what's going on. And then reporting, of course. We do, the way that the Barbie brand works, the brand team and the digital team are separate, and I fall under the digital team. It's weird, I don't get it, but hey, that's how it is. They will sometimes ask us for reports. It could be totally random, or it could be campaign-based. It could be, I want a list of video views, or it could be, How did our, you know, post from March 17th perform? It's kind of all over the place. We've tried to standardize what we give them and sort of have a reporting cadence. And I think in a normal company, having a normalized cadence for reporting and monitoring is way more helpful because you can find actionable moments at a faster pace than my company works. I hope that answered your question.
So Barbie has kind of had always a little bit of a controversial body type, especially, you know, with young girls being a role model for them. When you released the new diverse Barbies, was there anything that you did to prepare for the release? And then post-release, was there any feedback or reactions that surprised you?
So, yes, we prepared like crazy. I think this is the biggest change the brand has ever seen, and everyone took it extremely seriously. The conversation of body is something that we haven't always responded to because it's challenging and it's sensitive. And it's something that as a company, we never focused on her body. She's a system of play. She fits, all the dolls fit in the cars, all the dolls fit in the houses, all the clothes can be swapped. So as a system of play, it makes sense. But once we start getting into this like lightning rod of conversation, is she creating issues for young girls? Like, totally get it. Parents are concerned. We're listening. We're trying to get with the times and like be better. So it was really, we took that responsibility extremely seriously, and our design team spent countless hours working on those dolls. And, you know, did we push it far enough? Did we push it too far? What can we do? How do we, you know, every question you're thinking, times that by 1,000, and we were spinning our wheels. So the way we prepared for launch day specifically, we set up a war room simulation. We went through every possible scenario we could think of, because with this brand and the people that have been working on the brand for a long time, they've seen it all. And even in my shorter time at Mattel, we've seen a lot of nasty stuff. So people get a little crazy. So we were ready for that. We were totally ready. We went through we spent an entire day just going through scenario after scenario on social, press, anything you can imagine. And every decision maker that was required was in that room on that day. And that's the first time I've ever experienced that. And I think not only did it freak everyone out, it was also really helpful because I think everyone was hoping for the best but planning for the worst, and everyone felt ready. So on launch day, we set up our war room with the same folks, except it was real. And we just went through it, and it was like, we did this already. We get it. We're ready. I think everyone was really surprised and delighted by the fact that we had 98% positive response globally. Like, there were tears in the room because we were like, oh my God, I can't believe that this worked out. But I think one of the funniest things that we saw that we didn't expect, we kind of talked about it laughingly, was this idea of dad bod Ken. I don't know, like everyone was like, where's dad bod Ken? He's so perfect. Now Barbie can be whatever she wants, but poor Ken has to be perfect. I think everyone was surprised by that, and it came through in a lighthearted way. There was no negative or like malicious energy behind it. So it was surprising and hilarious, honestly. And I was like, dude, yes, we need to do this, obviously. Me too, me too.
For the record, I would buy dad bod.
Yes.
Just saying. My question, you mentioned earlier talking about global affiliates and controlling their content and things like that. I work for a large franchise organization that has global affiliates, mm-hmm. Or global franchises. What's that look like with a brand your size? I mean, you said you control the content, but yet you still give them a voice.
Right.
So just kind of delve a little deeper into that.
Definitely. So the way that we've set it up, and it's been a little bit bumpy because when I came in, I was the one who really like shaped the way that it looked. We kind of talked to the markets. We have, you know, we have Asia, Canada, Australia, Latin America, UK. We have people everywhere. And what we did was we wanted to empower them, but also give them resources, because that's always an issue. They, you know, markets need content. They need support. So the first thing I did was sort of survey everyone and find out, where are you lacking and how can we help? So we came to this model of, as a global team, we are committed to providing, at minimum, 10 assets plus copy a month. So at the very minimum, they can keep the lights turned on their social channels. The way that we have it set up is each market has their own Facebook page, just by nature of the fact that we can break out the pages. They don't have their own Twitter handles. They don't have their own Instagram channels. So we're focusing on Facebook to get that flow right. And also, another reason for doing that is the local markets control their media budget. So if they want to put paid support behind their Facebook content, which we tell them you need to do all the time, they have direct access to make that happen, and we're not a roadblock for them. So we found out that content and resources are the biggest issue. So we've committed to, you know, XYZ posts. And what we also do is we create additional campaigns throughout the year that aren't planned, and we create with them in mind. So we'll flush out a plan, and if their plan has to go 3 months later or a month earlier, we make sure we have it in time and send it their way. So we have this sort of baseline content flowing at all times, and then additional sort of special programs coming through throughout the year ad hoc. So, and also, if they need something from us, they're not shy, that's for sure. So again, we have a certain budget, but we'll always try to find solutions for them and make sure that they're getting what they need at any given time. It's a little bumpy. It's gotten a lot better, and I think we've given them a lot of sort of freedom as well, because we don't force them to just post what we give them. They have local events. They have local partners that we have nothing to do with. But we ask if they need support, creative support, or they're not sure if a piece of creative is going to work, that they funnel it through us, and we'll do whatever we can. We also created toolkits and tone and voice guides. So there's at least a baseline to work from. A lot of them work with agencies, so they hand over those toolkits and tone and voice guides, and it helps them sort of get everything in line. And then we try to be on call as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got one for you. Social moves really fast, as we all know. New sites are cropping up all the time. Certain sites are catching fire. So I guess the first part of my question is, are there any plans to expand into kind of hot sites right now, like Snapchat, or taking on Pinterest, or doing some things on Tumblr to expand the reach of the brand? And then what is sort of your position as far as taking on new sites? Is it a, you know, let's get out there and try and build audiences, or is it a wait and see approach to see if something catches fire?
So the way we've done it, we actually took a reverse approach. We were on Pinterest, we were on Tumblr, and last year, after sort of analyzing our entire ecosystem and looking at what was working and what we needed to focus on, we killed two channels. If you can't do it right, don't do it. That is what I preach to everyone. If you have killer Instagram content and engagement, pour your resources there. If you have a huge team where you have a few people that can take on each channel, God bless you and go forward. But we've had to be really strategic and sort of cut places where it hurt. That being said, if we find a need, or if we can expand the team to sort of tap into those channels again and bring them back, I am totally open to that. I'm all about, let's go for it, and if it doesn't work, all well, moving on. We would love to move into Snapchat. I think there's this challenge that the Barbie brand faces of having such a young consumer, but then mom as the customer. So we have a 3 to 6 year old who's actually using the product, and then mom who's maybe not on Snapchat. So we have an audience issue. So again, it goes back to, why are we going there? Is it just because it's cool and hot, or is it a place where we can actually do something? So I'm trying to still figure out if that makes sense. I'm all about if it's if it's there, give it a try. I don't think it always needs to catch fire before you try, because you want to be in on the joke, so to speak. Like, you want to be the one who said, oh, I was there. Did it, done it. Amazing. But be strategic. Obviously, if it's not right for your customer, or your consumer, or your audience, then it's not right for your brand.
Do we have any more questions? All right, you're the last one. You ready?
It's a good one.
It better be really good, because you're the last one. I'm very excited for this.
Huge fan of the page, like, love it every day.
Thanks.
Whenever things come out. Just kind of a fun question. Do you have a favorite post, maybe from the past? Like, I love the Throwback Thursday ones, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of the old toys that, yeah. you know, Barbie poses with. So mm-hmm. do you have, like, a favorite maybe theme or editorial that you do?
I am very partial to the pets. So any posts that feature her dog, Miss Honey, or Sugar, I'm in. Like, I love all of her content, but as soon as you throw a dog in there, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm in. That is a very good question. Thank you. Well, thank you all so much. I look forward to connecting with you after this. If you have more questions, I have lots of opinions and answers.
Let's get a nice round of applause.
Thank you.